34. Thereafter, we will read Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. 1 Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then to Psalm 127. We'll read the first two stanzas. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. The sermon this evening is about Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. It is dealing with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. It also points to the Lord's Supper, which we will celebrate 2 weeks from today. Our daily bread, that's the key expression here, explained by the Catechism as referring to all our bodily needs. The Catechism does not really specify what these needs are. The assumption being, I suppose, that God knows very well what we need, even better than we know ourselves. We simply ask that he will provide us with all our bodily needs, and that he will do so in his good pleasure, in his grace. Give us is not a demand, as if God owes us, but a petition. The original German makes this clear by saying, wilt thou provide us? An older English version shows the same truth when it says, be pleased to provide us. We ask that God in his grace will grant us what we do not of ourselves deserve. The expression all our bodily needs is a very broad expression. The problem here is that we tend to differ on exactly what these needs are. The one is accustomed to much more than the other, and has grown more demanding than the other. What is the one, perhaps, a total luxury, is to the other a basic necessity. Especially in a time of affluence, we tend to confuse needs and luxuries. After a while, common luxuries become common needs. And I believe that there is in this very specific danger for the Church of Christ. Is your attitude today oriented more to luxury than determined by need? You all know that the Lord has blessed us richly. But we do not pray for riches and luxuries. We are taught to pray for our daily bread, for the real needs. And we know that the Lord often hears by granting us abundance. I summarize this Lord's Day as follows. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for all our bodily needs. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for all our bodily needs. And we look at 3 points. The confession of this petition, the consideration in this petition, and the consequence of this petition. The confusion, consideration, and the consequence of this petition. The Catechism explains the 4th petition by saying, provide us with all our bodily needs. It then adds, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good. The old version and the original German text reads in this way, that we may thereby acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good. This means that through this petition and through God's hearing of this petition, we come to a very significant confession. The petition contains an implicit confession. And the confession in this petition is simple, yet profound. The confession is that God is the only fountain of all good. Note the emphasis. God is the only fountain of all good. It is not so that we need God, let us say, in spiritual matters only, and that in material matters we must fend for ourselves. In all matters, spiritual and also material, we go only to God. We acknowledge Him only as the source, and we confess that He alone cares for us, also when it comes to our daily bread. This is not an easy confession to make. Our natural tendency is to think in materialistic terms. This materialism has many forms, but its one basic feature is the claim that our earthly goods do not come from God, but from an earthly source. Those with their own private business, they show an individualistic, humanistic material. With a big or small business, sometimes they develop this attitude. Don't begrudge me my wealth, they say, because I build it up. I slaved day and night, and I deserve the benefits. It is so tempting to say, hey, I worked hard for this, as if it is a matter of our own effort and insight. Another materialist will say, the company for which I work is the source of his daily bread. He is a company man. After all, the company keeps him alive, pays his salary and his benefits. In times of recession and unemployment, strong companies can easily be seen as the source of our daily bread. Sometimes it is felt that these companies get too much power and so begin to exploit the workers. For this reason, many in our country see the labor union as the source of their daily bread. The union will see to it that we get our daily bread and more. The union is the brotherhood, the communion of gain. We are told that if we're not for the unions, with their militant tactics and ever-effective strike weapon, we would be exploited beyond measure. Many liberal Christians today have become very socialistic. They believe that the state is responsible for the well-being of its citizens, both materially and spiritually. Through a system of heavy taxation and liberal social securities, the citizens are robbed of their independence and provided for by the state in all their needs. Now, no one should deny that many of these factors contribute in some way to our material well-being. But if I believe that the source of my daily bread, of the filling of all my bodily needs, is the business which I build up, or the company for which I work, or the union of which I am a member, or the state in which I live, then I am a pure materialist. And if we expect all we need from any of these sources, it is of no avail to say to God, "Give us this day our daily bread." Such a petition would then be a matter of lip service, for we actually seek our daily bread from a different source. The Catechism says that when you pray this petition, you confess God the Father to be the only fountain of all good, of all things, both spiritual and material. It is not so that God will give me my spiritual needs and that I myself, or the company or the union, must take care of my material needs. No, all good, in the fullest sense of the word, comes from the Lord our God. God is the only fountain, and we must understand that, biblically speaking, this is a fountain which never runs dry, of which, as the Belgic Confession stresses in Article 1, is an overflowing fountain. Earthly fountains or sources tend to dry up, but this is a fountain which never runs dry. This fountain is never dependent on human circumstances and international events, like wars, recessions, oil prices, or whatever, for it is a fountain which flows constantly out of itself. That it is overflowing means that it always gives us abundantly. This is a very prominent element in the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Is not the Father the overflowing fountain of all good? Does the Father not feed and clothe his creatures? Look at the flowers and the birds, and consider, are you not more than they? The Gentiles live in constant anxiety, and they always seek food, clothing, and shelter. They think that they themselves must meet their needs. But your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he knows them all." Your Father knows. He knows our great spiritual needs, and he has met these needs in Jesus Christ. At the Lord's table, we confess that on the cross, Christ removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, namely sin. He gave us the bread of life, the true food and drink of life eternal. Shall he then withhold from us earthly bread and temporal food and drink? Does he not also know our material needs, and will he not provide? Yes, he will fully provide. Thus the confession in this petition is, we acknowledge thee as the only fountain of all good. This is not a statement only for Sunday, but a confession which should still fill our lives from Monday to Saturday as well. God alone provides for me, for my family, our church, our schools. In all our spiritual and material needs, he provides. We depend on no one else. Thus, when we rise every morning and face again all the needs that must be met, and see again all the bills that must be paid, and contemplate the rising cost of living, we pray in all simplicity, "Father, give us this day our daily bread." And do not think now that it is a rather simplistic petition, that it is also easy. Instead, this confession is a decisive beginning for further scriptural consideration. Come to the second point. There is a second element here, We should also acknowledge, says the Catechism, that our care and labor, and also thy gifts, cannot do us any good without thy blessing. The Catechism does not deny that we should have care and that we must have labor. You may not pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then just sit down and wait for someone to bring it to you. Care and labor. The word care can be taken in more ways than one. Positively, it means that we take care, that we are careful, aware of circumstances and opportunities. It means that we plan wisely and make a responsible budget. We should not live carelessly on the basis that God always provides. We should always take care, for that is responsible stewardship. Yes, we should take care, but we should not have care in the sense that we have worries and anxieties which override all other feelings. Do not be anxious, said Christ, for the Father provides. Our cares should take into account God's concern for us. Anxiety betrays a lack of trust in the promises and provisions of the Lord. And our labor is important as well. We have been created with a mandate to work according to our abilities and talents. The Bible does not admonish those who cannot work, but it does admonish those who will not work. Able-bodied Christians may not live in idleness, feeling that God, society, the state, or the church owes them a livelihood. Despite all hardships, disappointments, and setbacks, we are still called to faithful labor. Besides our care and labor, says the Catechism, there are also God's gifts. In His sovereign goodness, the Lord can give freely in a way that does not depend on our labor or care. He can open doors financially. Gifts are meant here not so much as the result of our work, but as the blessing of God's providence. The Catechism speaks of care, labor, and gifts. Our life is to be a life of careful stewardship, of diligent and faithful labor, and of receiving gifts and opportunities from the Lord. And now comes to the point, the basic consideration, namely, that without God's blessing, all our care, toil, and gifts cannot profit us. They will not bring us one step farther. In this petition, we not only ask for our daily bread, but we also ask the Lord for His blessing upon our efforts, upon our work, and upon His gifts. We must consider, not superficially, but deeply, that the blessing of the Lord is the basic element in our life which gives us meaning to all things we do or have. What is God's blessing? You can see it best by looking at the opposite, which is God's curse. To be under curse means that you are no more in God's communion and fellowship. It means that you are not His child, and that He is not your Father. To be under God's blessing means that you are accepted by God and taken up in His love, that you are welcome at His table, the table of His Son, and share in His promises for this life and the life to come. This is indeed the message of Psalm 127. You can work, toil, and labor. You can build a beautiful house, have cares, watch over the city, stay awake all night. You stand on guard for your country. But if the Lord is not with you, all your work is in vain. Then the big house is an empty shell, destined to perish. And the mighty city is a threatened city, destined to fall. Then all your efforts are nothing but vanity and wind. Then you can work all day, morning till night. You can toss and turn in your bed, worrying about this and about that. You can live with hard-earned money. But then, where does it get you? You cannot even sleep at night. You cannot buy rest or peace, for it must be given. Rest in Christ and peace with God are gifts. And if these gifts are not present, then all earthly toil and care are basically in vain. The basic consideration of this petition is not just for bread and material things. It is a petition for the blessing of God, for the fellowship with the Father. We pray for a life that is good, because it is redeemed by the Son and guided by the Spirit. And our work has real value, and our care is well spent. Then God's gifts are received in praise and gratitude. We ask for God's blessing in all and over all. For without that blessing, we are damned forever. For God alone comes this blessing. And that has great consequences for all of us. So we come to the last element. The Catechism sums it all up when it says, "Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in thee." Notice that the word "therefore," because God is the only fountain of all good, and because his blessing is all important, therefore we must withdraw our trust from all creatures. From all creatures? Does that mean that we should not trust anyone or depend on anybody? No, we must build up a relationship of trust between employees and employers, between government and citizens, between partners. We must be able to depend on each other, and we must meet our obligations. The Catechism is not talking here about building up sound business relationships. The Catechism is talking about our basic and ultimate trust. To whom do we look every day for our daily bread? Shall my family look to me, to Dad, to a mortal and limited creature? Are my wife and children dependent on me? That's how it often formulated. The IRS asks you, how many citizens, how many dependents in your household? You should consider filling in "none." At least none are dependent on me. Shall I look to my employer? He could go bankrupt tomorrow. Shall I depend on the state? Our country already has a deficit of trillions. How can it guarantee anything? Shall I depend on my carefully planned securities for pension and old age? A dollar today may be worth a mere penny tomorrow. The Catechism speaks of creatures. This is an excellent chosen word here. Anything created may not have our ultimate trust, because it is subject to change and decay. If I trust in a creature, then I would build on that which, like myself, is destined to disappear. Yet how easily do we do this? We put trust in our carefully gathered assets, on our well-run business, in the social securities. If these things would fall away, we would feel lost. But if we honestly pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," the consequence must be that we trust only in God. The Catechism says that we shall place our trust in God. To place our trust means to put it there permanently and definitely. In good times and in bad times, our trust is in God. God is faithful to us. We will therefore be faithful to him, and will continue to expect everything from him alone. He is not a creature, but the Creator. He is the earth and the fullness thereof. He can and will provide, and He alone. You experience the blessing of God, communion with Him in Christ. Besides the bread that perishes, we receive the bread which does not perish, the lasting food of which we partake at the Holy Supper of the Lord. Then we know that He who did not spare His own Son will also with Him give us all things. The table of the Lord has consequences for this petition. The Lord seeks a people who in all things, spiritual and material, trust in Him alone and live for Him alone. For He fits all the needs of body and soul. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your ever-present care and protection over us, providing us with our daily needs. Bless us in this coming week as we return to our work and duties. May all that we do be to the glory of Your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now please stand and we'll sing, turning to the blue hymnal, number 407, and we'll sing all the verses.